Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Friday, the 23rd of May, 2025. This is program 1377 of the Lunchroom, and I'm your host, Calix George Jr. In addition to radio, 101.1 FM, you can get us at our website. It's rcistlucia.com. We're streaming live there. And you can also get us at our Facebook page. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International, and we are streaming live on Facebook. The number to call and tell us what's on your plate today, 452-3046. And you can also reach us on our WhatsApp number. That is 724-0008. Now, for today, I want to send out some birthday greetings to Miss Hiliana Mathre. Happy, happy birthday to you. Hope you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. And also to Miss Melissa Charles. Happy, happy birthday to you. Hope that you're having a wonderful and fantastic birthday celebration. A look back in time. In the year 1785, on this day, Benjamin Franklin announced his invention of bifocals. On this day, May 23rd, 1813, South America independence leader Simon Bolivar entered Merida, leading the invasion of Venezuela, and is proclaimed El Libertador, or the Liberator. In the year 1949, on this day, the Federal Republic of West Germany was created from the American, British, and French occupation zones. 1958, on this day, Mao Zedong started the Great Leap Forward movement in China and killed between 23 and 55 million Chinese citizens due to famine and forced labor. 1997, on this day in St. Lucia, was election day and became victorious for the St. Lucia Labor Party under Dr. Kenny Anthony, the first time that this party was successful in winning over 15 years in opposition, winning 16 of the 17 seats. And in 1998, on this day, the Good Friday Agreement was accepted in a referendum on Northern Ireland, with 75% of the population voting yes. We now move on to our dish of the day, where we get a bit of an update on sport with Joseph Resbrera. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also got gasway and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses, Hugo Zillings, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program today. And I do believe we have Mr. Joseph Resbrera on air with us right now. Of course, Reds, how are you doing?
Oh, well, I just went down to watch the West Indies A practice at the Darren Sammy. South Africa are due to start very shortly. Mm-hmm. As the two teams prepared for the second A game, ODI, which starts, of course, at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think we can look at the West Indies today. They had a very, very good performance with the bat against the Irish, but unfortunately the rain came and stopped any play, so the West Indies probably felt that they had missed out. They got 352 for 8, with Carty getting 102, Shai Hope getting 49, Justin Graves was not at 44. Ralston Chase made 24. But the major innings today was Matthew Ford, who got 58 of 19 balls.
Oh.
He hit 8 sixes and 2 fours. West is 328. But there was no no chance to bowl at the Irish because of the weather. So that's the latest from the West Indies. In Ireland, of course, as we all know, they lost the first game. And they obviously was in a position to win the second game. I just want to look at the situation regarding the women who probably are playing today. Let's see if we can pick that up. Let's see what the position is. England won the toss and chose to field. And I think this might have been affected by the weather also. Let me check as the news is in fact coming in. I'll go to the scorecard if there's one very quickly. No, that has not really started yet. So that just brings up the up-to-date position regarding the cricket. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the West Indies are playing against South Africa tomorrow at the Darren Sammy at 2:30. I'm assuming where you want to appeal via your program.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware that those matches are on. I did think, I think I only found out about it. One of the officers in the Ministry of Youth and Sport posted something on her Facebook page. And that's how I actually realized that this was actually going on. A lot of people aren't aware. And so, of course, thanks for letting us know about that game, which is coming up tomorrow afternoon. And certainly some interesting players out there. We should certainly be paying attention to that West Indies A team and get a sense of, who might very well be able to segue onto the main team as well.
Well, I think you will get an indication just on the point you're making, because we are playing 2 4-day test matches, and quite a lot of people who may be called up against Australia may be exposed in the 2 4-day matches. Mm-hmm. They have picked 2 separate teams. It has a bearing on the opening test against South Africa, against Australia in Barbados in July. It should be a very interesting 4-day. But more to the point, I would like St. Lucians, people who are not working on Saturday, the gates are open free. People who are retired, people who are on leave, certainly an opportunity to come and watch the young players of tomorrow, which has been really one of the disappointing things of West Indies cricket in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Games are played to empty stands. Sometimes you have 50 people if you really count every head in the ground, you know. So I'd like to repeat this tomorrow at 2:30. And
the West Indies team, from what I'm seeing, Alec Atanas, out of Dominica, Kadeem, Aline, you've got Kevlon Anderson, Kevin Wickham, Shakiri Paris, Javel Glenn, Kernol Savory, Jediah Blades, Daryl Cyrus, Marquino Mindley, and O'Shane Thomas. That was the batting lineup for the match just passed.
We had some scores coming out of that thing. We had Anderson getting 47 of 95 balls, and I think we had Wickham getting 39, the 2 top scorers, and of course Athens himself was in fact among the runs. But the West Indies middle order seemed to have collapsed. Mm-hmm. And although the tail tried to wag, I think we fell short about 40. But we expect changes. We expect maybe Carey Pearce will come in, the left-arm spinner. And a Trinidadian left-hander Gulli might also come in. I went down to the Nets today, and we're really giving Gulli a long net practice. He's a left-hander, so we expect some changes.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa one day probably will want to expose a couple of people, because the whole thing about A-team cricket internationally is to give as many exposure to players, and not win, you know. You can win and only play 11 players, and then, you know, you really don't go back and say, well, we have learned a hell of a lot. But and the weather has been extremely good. We were a little concerned.
Well, yeah, surprising. We've seen a lot of rain of late, so let's hope that
we're concerned about the 18th of May. the weather then changed for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And my actually birthday was on the 20th, and it was a nice, warm day. So,
and belated wishes to you, of course. You have the honor of sharing that birthday with Maureen here at
RCI.
Oh,
yes.
As well as my sister, who is also born on that very same day.
Well, I can add a few people too. Derek Murray, the West Indies former wicketkeeper batsman, is also on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Warrican, who was just made vice captain, is on May the 20th. And years ago, of course, I knew an outstanding Jamaican sportsman who played first division football in England, Lindy De La Pena. He was also May the 20th, but he would have been 98. He would have been 98 on that. But my birthday was very quiet. I simply went to have breakfast with my wife and prepared, because you got to prepare with the South African names. They're all new,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you got to get it right, because the streaming is going worldwide. The streaming is going worldwide. And whilst I'm doing that, I'm also planning my next Pereira and Company program on Hot TV 7. And I hope, in fact, just before you called, I was speaking to Makiba Alcide.
Oh, great.
She's got information on how St. Lucia did with the two gold medals in the 100 and 200
mm-hmm.
and other medals. And she's got her own meet coming up. And that will be on it'll be recorded on the 20th, and it'll be out on the 29th. Looking also at the Carifta swimming,
mm-hmm.
because we have to do justice to the swimmers who went to the Trinidad and Tobago, the mountain medals, and who did well, the conditions in Trinidad. I'm hoping also to have...
And over this weekend, I believe Julian Alfred is supposed to be over in Croatia, isn't she, in Zagreb?
I think that's on tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes, that's on tomorrow. So that will be well looked at. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see it, depending when it's run, because I'll be at cricket. I'm hoping to look back at the recent St. Lucia Golf Open, which was fairly successful.
Mm.
They had about 40 overseas players. And
Was that at the traditional Sandals course, or did they go across the Cabot?
No, that was the traditional Sandals course.
Okay.
And I've invited the director, right? The director, Habib, to come and talk about how it went over. And this year it's for 3 days. Normally it's only held over 2 days, but they're trying to move it to the international standard. So they had it over 3 days.
Mm.
The local participation was about 40 or 45.
Mm-hmm.
But from all reports, it was a successful tournament, dominated maybe by Trinidad in some of the sections.
Okay.
And I've extended an invitation to Francis Daniel, because the pro league, the semi-pro league is on, and I'm hoping that enough is being put in place so he can maybe join the program and talk about that. So Kurefta, the Gulf Open and the coming Pro League in 2025, and that's recorded on Monday,
right,
and out, of course, on the Thursday after the news on
should certainly be a very interesting way ahead in terms of golf in St. Lucia with two 18-hole courses in close proximity, the potential for marketing St. Lucia in that regard in terms of some tournaments. That should be really nice in the future, I would say.
Well, you know, you could only have maybe about 120 people in a tournament. So, you know, it needs to be marketed. I gather that I think Martinique or Guadeloupe are going to send about 30 people next year.
Okay.
So the word is getting around. It might be oversubscribed. But the infrastructure for golf is as good as it could be. Really. Cabot hasn't had any major tournaments like that, and we probably will probably see that direction being followed.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, the Open has not been played for about 5 years in St. Lucia,
mm-hmm,
because of COVID and other reasons. But it certainly was back on over a month ago, and Brian Lara, who had a previous commitment, couldn't come. I think Desmond Haynes also had a previous commitment and couldn't come. But there was a strong Caribbean participation of 40 players. But I think the Alfred event you mentioned, I think she's running the 200 tomorrow.
200, that's correct. Yes.
So it'll be good to see, you know, what the competition is like. And, of course, you know, everybody is looking to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't do well, I mean, you can record, you know, some of the best times. So it should be a high quality. I mean, the whole event should be of high quality for people who are at home. But unfortunately, my invitation to cricket means that you can have cake and bake.
Right, no, right, indeed. Well, I mean, thanks so very much again, of course, Reds, for sharing with us and keeping us abreast of what's happening right in our backyard. And we do hope that people take up the opportunity to go out to watch West Indies A versus South Africa A.
St. Lucia is great for jazz, great for Carnival, a lot of people. But, you know, we have an international ground with a lovely scoreboard, the best pitch in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going worldwide. People are seeing the Darren Sammy with empty stands. And, you know, I had reached out to the tourist board begging them if they can provide two drummers, you know, a couple of drummers, just to create some atmosphere, you know.
Right.
And if we can get a couple of hundred people, I've invited a few people from the Bonterre area, they might come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if every school set their school team, you will have some atmosphere. There's a lot of cricketers in St. Lucia. If they turn up to watch the West Indies play, you'll have some atmosphere. You'll have the Johnson Charles stand, which is free to the public, you know, definitely available. People can bring on their fruit baskets. They can bring their juices. I don't think they'll be allowed to bring any alcohol, as far as I know. But, I mean, you know, a day without alcohol can't harm anyone. So that's an open invitation. There are other things going on. I passed by the basketball auditorium this morning, close to the Darren Sammy, and you have activities there.
Right.
There's quite a lot, and there's track and field coming up. I think other than the Makiba Al-Seed Classic, there's another junior meet coming up. I'm keen to talk to I'll see that, about the young lady who won the 100 and 200. In terms of what times she was running in St. Lucia prior to going to Trinidad, that never really came out from the commentators, you know, whether she really in Trinidad further improved what she was doing prior to leaving for the Caribbean game. So I'm looking forward to hear. I mean, she... I spoke to a Jamaican friend of mine, and he said that there's no need for her to follow the Alfred path, let's say. And the Alfred path was to go to Jamaica and then move on.
Right.
He says right now, at her age, her times, she is well ahead of that. She doesn't need Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to find a school. I'm sure there are many offers. She needs to get the right advice, go to the right school with the right weather and the right coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, the world is her oyster. And the potential there of a St. Lucia 4x1 when the Commonwealth Games come next year, you know, I can see that becoming a real reality. And if they run well, of course, you know, you've got to pass the baton well. You can have four fast runners, but if there is a little hiccup in one of the changeovers, you're out of the picture.
Yeah. Well, we definitely are rooting for JD Emmanuel, and
yes, definitely.
Sterling contribution start already.
A star is born, you know.
And of course,
the 4x1 really is something that all St. Lucia could look forward to.
Well, yes, we're definitely hoping for that too. The likes of Naomi London, of course, Julian Alfred. You know, so definitely a lot of possibilities for the women, and we really are hoping, of course, that we can maybe also begin to see some inroads in terms of the men as well. That's another area that we definitely have to pick up a little bit on in terms of their performances.
I think we need to beef up the coaching.
Mm.
If you can improve your coaching, your coaches can then improve the athletes. I think we need a focus, whether we can have a seminar on overseas personality coming and working with the local coaches, providing ideas, providing systems of training and methods of training and styles of training. I think we really need to have a major focus on improving our coaches.
Now, just this week, we were speaking to some representatives of the St. Lucia Sports Academy, and I think they were indicating there are about 109 students who actually are enrolled in that academy right now. They are looking for more participants, more students to come in to be on their role. But I'm also thinking that I don't know how they work out in terms of their own outreach. Maybe that type of workshop type of setting that you're talking about, maybe on a weekend where you're actually inviting people from all sorts of different schools and clubs to come in, that might be also pretty useful to get them to see what's possible and to make that broader community impact that you're speaking of.
And talking about that organization, I think they can use an improvement in their facilities.
Mm.
You know, they're close to the Darren Sammy, so, you know, they're very close. But I think we need to see the facilities, the track conditions, the other disciplines, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you need to improve the conditions. I did, in fact, try to get the principal, Mrs. Charles, and I will try once more to get her on my program, Prayer and Company, so we can look at the structure, look at how many people they have, what's the facilities are like, what's the success has been like, what's the coaching staff is like, and get that kind of information out.
Right. Well, Reds, thank you so very much. We thought it was going to be 15 minutes. We've gone well over that to almost half an hour.
I'm sorry. I talked too much.
No. There was a great input, of course, as always, and we're very appreciative of your time. And we hope that everything goes well tomorrow.
I give you a score. England a 565-6. Zimbabwe on the second day, 265, and sent into bat again. There was 30-2, but a young Zimbabwean, 20 years of age, who scored a magnificent 100, although his side is on the losing side.
Mm-hmm.
20 years of age, and his name is Bennett, and batted very well.
Mm.
So let's see if you could motivate people to come tomorrow at the Dance Tommy. It's free of charge, and they can bring their picnic baskets and have fun. Bring the family, bring the children, you know.
Yep, thanks. Thanks for that invitation, Reds. And
so it's over to you.
All right. And take care, Reds. Have a good one. All the best there. And, of course, that was Dr. Joseph Reds Parra, who was keeping us abreast of some of the happenings, of course, especially with cricket and the ongoing series, West Indies A versus South Africa A, and their second ODI on at the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground tomorrow afternoon. It's a free event, definitely a good one to take in. That's our dish of the day. When we come back, we'll take in our weather report.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasoline and vanity. Boss, you'll see. Come down to my new body. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bossejou, Grosilis, and Flag Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style. Whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style. Oh yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We have tiles and insets, mixes and ground. Peace out the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
For the first solar 1.1, it's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Star Talent Bath. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours, winds will be blowing from the east near 22 miles per hour or 35 kilometers per hour. The weather, fair skies, becoming cloudy at times with a few brief showers. And there is an advisory in here which reads, small craft operators and sea beavers are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and above normal seas. The forecast from the Lesser Antilles, partly cloudy to cloudy with widely scattered showers over the southern Windward Islands and areas through the south. Elsewhere, fair to occasionally cloudy with a few showers. The weather summary, the Atlantic High Pressure System will generate moderate to brisk easterly winds above and above normal seas across the eastern Caribbean region during the next few days. An upper-level trough system will continue to cause cloudiness and some showers over the southern part of the region during the forecast period. Also, a tropical wave located over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 10 miles per hour or 17 kilometers per hour. This wave is expected to affect our region on Sunday. Another tropical wave is located over the far eastern tropical Atlantic, is moving westward in near 6 miles per hour or 9 kilometers per hour. And this was the weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Tell and Bath.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say, yeah.
Spaces and ground, everything you need to start the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality price, service choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Now, Africa Liberation Day is coming up on the 25th of May. And right here in St. Lucia, we're actually going to be marking it with an event which is slated for tomorrow, for May the 24th. And it's actually being produced in collaboration with ICAR and Freedom Coalition SLU. And to tell us about this upcoming event slated for tomorrow from 10 o'clock, we have online with us the president of the Ayanola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari. He is Mr. Aaron Alexander. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, good day. Good day to everybody out there in Radio Land listening to the program right now. I'm all right, Calix, and how are you doing?
Good, thank you, Aaron. And, of course, tomorrow we'll be marking Africa Liberation Day here in St. Lucia with an event that's slated for the Derek Walcott Square, starting from 10 o'clock. Tell us about what to expect that's happening at the square.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you for the opportunity. And first off, I want to say that the Ayanola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari, we have opened up the council to embrace also persons of Pan-African ideology, because oftentimes, even here in St. Lucia, we don't really have a Pan-African movement per se. So the Rastafari organization, ICA, actually fills in that void. So we like to say, when we talk about Ayanola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari, we also put in there and Pan-African people. So tomorrow, this is definitely an event for all people. You know, sometimes people just dismiss the activities organized by the council and just dismiss it as just a Rasta thing, you know? So we want to let people know it's not about Rasta. It's about the entire Black race. We as Black people, Pan-African people, people who are concerned about what is happening on the African continent. And as we all know right now, certain parts of Africa is going through some turmoil right now in terms of coups that's happening. We just heard about another coup happening in the Ivory Coast. Yeah. You know where you... Yeah, Cote d'Ivoire, where you had this president ruling for over 40 years. And just recently, he decided that he's going to allow the Americans to put a base there close to the border with Burkina Faso. And the military in the Ivory Coast, they looked at this as being a threat to Burkina Faso's revolution. And Ibrahim Traoré, the president of Burkina Faso, and the military have now taken over and deposed the president. I think they say today he's supposed to resign or something like that. But I'm saying all that to say that there's a lot of stuff happening.
There's also suggestions that it was a false rumor regarding that coup as well. So I'm not too sure exactly where that is.
Well, they try to hide it, because I think there was an internet blackout at the time that it was happening. So they tried to hide it, but I think, you know, from all indications and groups that I am involved with in terms of as far as Pan-African developments are concerned, it's all over the groups, and, you know, persons are reporting on what is happening there right now. So, like you say, we still have to take it with a grain of salt, I suppose. But it seems that there's a lot of movement going on in Africa in as far as the liberation of Africa, because some people talk about we are not liberated, and as much as this is true, but we have certainly made some serious gains over the years, because we now have to look at liberation as a process. It's not something that's going to be achieved overnight. So our ancestors who fought the good fight and liberated us from, you know, the shackles and the chains of slavery and so on, and now we are living in an environment where we are free to speak, you know, we are free to revolt, we are free to, you know, let our voices be heard. So we're definitely in a better position now compared to maybe 100 years ago. So in African liberation, which started back in, some say, 1958, where they had this conference in Accra, Ghana, and they called it Freedom Day. They called it Freedom Day 25th of May. But then, as you know, in 1963, there was this gathering of all the independent African states at the time, and they gathered in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and that is where the African liberation really got consolidated. So henceforth, moving forward, African Day celebrated, or African Liberation Day celebrated, on the 25th of May. So we're marking 62 years of the liberation movement, where the African leaders at the time vowed to decolonize the continent, you know, and fight against colonialism, fight against neocolonialism. And that process started since back then, and it continues even today, that we see the Sahel region and the areas where the former French colonies are all rising up now and say enough is enough with this colonialism and neocolonialism, and that Africa resources should be used for the benefit of Africa and its people. So we've seen the liberation movement still continues today. So the event on Saturday falls right in line with the struggle for liberation, to let people know what is happening on the continent. Let us not turn a blind eye to what is going on. We need to support the movements for liberation that is going on the continent. And even here in St. Lucia, we put a focus also on what we are going through as a people, because this year we're focusing on crime, violence, and bullying. So the event we have on tomorrow on the square, it's dubbed Music to Fight Crime Part 2. We had Part 1 at the Serenity Park last year. So this year is Part 2, because we're focusing on using music, conscious music, to influence the minds and the hearts of our people, especially our youth, to cause them to turn away from crime and have a different mindset in as far as the way they treat each other. With all this black-on-black violence, youth-on-youth violence, you know, we need to bring these things to a stop. So we need to show our youths, educate our children as to where all these things are coming from. Because back on the slave plantations, the slave plantation owners, they used to pit brother against brother, arm them with a hammer, each of them with a hammer, and let them fight to the death. So brothers would fight to the death just for entertainment for the slave masters. So these things, this sense of violence, this thing about us kind of like hating each other, having that innate hatred towards each other, this thing has passed on in our DNA, you know, from back at the days of slavery upon the slave plantations. We are going through, as one Dr. Joy put it, we are going through what is known as post-traumatic slave syndrome. We have this thing within us, and we need to get that out. We need to talk about it. We're too quick, and we don't have patience with each other. We're too quick to resort to violent means of dealing with our disputes, etc. So we need to be using the music to fight crime. We're using the conscious music to, you know, try to change the hearts and the minds of our people, especially our young men, to try to make them understand each other, have more patience with each other, and treat each other in a more humane manner. So the event again tomorrow, we've invited, you know, quite a number of groups. You know, we've sent out open invitation to them all.
Hello.
Invited them all to come and let their voices be heard.
Sorry, we lost you for a short while there.
Yeah, go on.
No, I said we lost you for just a little bit. Just as you were talking about, you've sent out an open invitation. We lost what you said
right
after that.
Yeah. I was saying that we've sent out an open invitation to all those different groups, you know, civil society groups. Because, as you know, oftentimes the civil society groups have been accused of being silent, you know, in the light of issues affecting us as a community, as a nation. So oftentimes they've been accused of being silent. So we're asking them to find their voice. Come and join with us. Sometimes people will say, well, what can I do, you know, as a contribution towards the crime situation we have in St. Lucia? I might not be able to do much, but there is a lot you can do. I'm saying to the people, turn out in numbers. Let us send a clear message to the criminals that we will not tolerate all this criminality going on, this violence, these murders, this gun violence, this chopping, this stabbing, you know, these things. We have to arrest those issues. So we want to call on them. Even the situation of the bullying that happened recently, where the parent even had to go to a school with a gun to threaten a child. You know, this is how far this thing has gotten, this bullying and all these things. So we're standing up against bullying. We're standing up against crime and violence in all forms, whether here or on the continent, on the continent of Africa. You know, we're standing in solidarity with our police, with the crime-fighting efforts. And they've had some gains in recent time. We need to applaud them. We need to let them know that we, the citizenry, we are with them. We need to applaud our government in terms of the resources that they are providing for the police in their crime-fighting efforts. So all these things, we need to send a clear message. People can do their placards to depict what message you want to send out. Political groups are invited as well. We've invited them. We've invited the leader of the opposition. We've invited members of the government. You know, and some of them have indicated that they will be there. We want no political bashing with placards. This is not the time for that. This is time for unity. We all must unite against crime and violence and bullying, because these issues have no boundaries. They know no political party. You know, they respect no one. So we all should stand up together in unity against those ills of our society, and let us support our police for the works that they are doing, because we need the police. And let us also send a clear message to the criminals and would-be criminals that we are not going to stand for their unlawfulness and what they are doing in our society. We will not stand for that. So citizens can come out in large numbers, and let us send a clear message to them.
Thanks so very much for sharing with us. Of course, that is Mr. Aaron Alexander, and he is representing ICOB, but also the Freedom Coalition, SLU.
Yeah. They have joined in with us as well, and I want to appreciate that. I want to mention them specifically as an organization that have joined along with us. And even Dr. Centros, she'll have a booth there doing some medical stuff, blood pressure checks and so on, and herbal medicines. So all this will be part of it. Artists will be performing, solidarity messages, poets and dancers. You know, we'll have the whole package, Calix. It's a conscious time. That's the time for the consciousness. You know, jazz just completed. Some people might call jazz the bacchanal, but now is the conscious side. And then, of course, you know, carnival. We're going into the carnival coming very soon. So we want St. Lucians to come out, and support the activity tomorrow, especially the march through the city of Castries at 2 p.m. We're going to march around the city at 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
So it's a full day from 10 o'clock until 6 o'clock with a march
6 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock. And it's all centered at the Derek Walcott Square. And it's celebrating Africa Liberation Day. Of course, the actual day is on the Sunday, but it's being marked in St. Lucia with this event.
On Saturday. Because, you know, we're expecting some rough weather on Sunday as well. So we're trying to get it, you know, trying to stage this activity before, you know, the rough weather start kicking in. I think we're expecting it a tropical wave on Sunday or something. So.
Well, thanks so very, very much for sharing with us, and hope that it is going to be a success. And thanks again, Aaron, for sharing with us this upcoming event happening tomorrow on the Derek Walcott Square. Have a good one.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Now, of course, today also was the opening for the, what was formerly the custody suites in Castries. It was a detention center which effectively held prisoners, individuals who were not yet charged, who may have been put into holding cells by the police, brought in, detained by the police. And, of course, it is a pretty important facility within the overall operations of policing. And unfortunately, we saw that the original detention center, which was on that ground as part of the that broader area that formed part of a sort of a you know, policing complex, if you like, justice complex, correctional facility, that got demolished back around this time, in fact, in 2020. And, of course, within that context was also destroyed a historic structure, that of the Royal Jail, which was built, constructed between 1824 and 1827, built at a time to be seen as, you know, sort of trying to create a system of justice in the country. Now, believe it or not, creating a jail was seen to be improving the condition of justice and keeping it out of the hands of planters and their own system of justice, militias and whatnot, taking it away from this sort of vigilante or abusive state of affairs which had been going on prior to this establishment. So it was one of those interesting moves known as amelioration of the condition of slavery. And of course, during that period of time too, you saw individuals the likes of Mr. John Jeremy, who was a magistrate, lawyer, chief justice writer in St. Lucia. And he, his writings regarding slavery and the state of slavery in St. Lucia were in fact utilized later on in the whole emancipation effort, which eventually occurred by 1834, a decade later. So that was lost, of course, in terms of that historic building, as well as other buildings, including a more recent one, which was Custody Suites, as well as, of course, the old police barracks, which had been around since around 1952 or thereabouts. And so this new facility, which has been built, actually utilizes an older building that is on that site as well, on Bridge Street, which is the original police offices for the Royal St. Lucia Police Force, which was actually built somewhere back in 1904 or thereabouts. And so that building has been expanded, and so it now is going to be serving as that detention center, renamed or stylized as a community safety center. Some may still perhaps consider it to be Custody Suites, but effectively, whatever the terminology is for this detention center, it certainly is a much needed aspect within the overall system of justice here in St. Lucia, because as a result of the demolition which occurred back in 2020, it then meant that the police had a pretty hard time trying to find suitable detention spaces to be able to house prisoners. And so they ended up having to send, sometimes you may have been in one jurisdiction, you may have been in Castries, and they would have to find space up in Babuno or in further down, sometimes as far as Labrie, according to what we heard from one of the deputy commissioners speaking today at the ceremony. So certainly very, very welcome in terms of this regard, and of course the need to ensure the supporting infrastructure is in place for the Royal St. Lucia Police Force is vital, and hopefully, of course, this is a step in the right direction. It also marks the anniversary, as we mentioned in our history for today, anniversary of the 1997 general election. It was certainly, should be seen as a sort of a watershed election in the history of St. Lucia, because it marked a significant shift after 15 years in office. The United Workers' Party was in fact not re-elected on this day, May the 23rd, 1997. And that was a party that had been in power, if you look across the past 30 years from since, 33 years from 1964 until 1997, they were in fact in power for 30 of those 33 years, of course, with that break between 1979 to 1982. And so that significant shift occurred in the 1997 general election. And it saw a major voter turnout and swing towards the St. Lucia Labour Party, with them being able to pick up 16 of the 17 constituencies in that general election. In fact, posting an outcome of 44,203 votes for the SLP compared to 26,325 votes for the United Workers Party. And of course, that number would be very long before the St. Lucia Labour Party would be able to actually achieve that scale of outcome. I'm not even too sure that they've ever been able to get back up to that number, that extensive number, which they were able to achieve in 1997. And it certainly does show the extent of the victory. I think in 2021, they were eventually able to get up to that extent of a number, that gross of over 45,000 votes. But it in the previous elections between them, they were not able to achieve that remarkable swing, which was achieved in 1997. So, of course, just a bit of history there. And, of course, the one seat that they were not successful in actually winning was that of Miku North. It was held by who became the leader of the opposition, Mr. Louis George. And they were able to actually hold on to, the United Workers Party was able to hold on to that seat by about 200, just a little under 200 votes. So it was, even in that instance, it was a pretty close victory for the United Workers Party in Miku North. Of course, since then, in the 2021 in general election, they lost that seat. And you remember in the days gone by, those four seats, the Miku seats and Denry seats, were generally considered to be UWP safe seats. The Denrys became marginal and shifted away over time, with the Miku seats being the most steady for the United Workers Party. And of late, in fact, one can say that they, in fact, have they're not in such a secure position as before with respect to the Miku seats. And in comparison to, say, the St. Lucia Labour Party's hold on Labrie and Vafor North and even Vafor South, the same is not really quite the same anymore with respect to that of Miku. That's our program for the week. And, well, of course, for today and for the week. And we do hope that we can come back next week, God willing, for another session of the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. And of course, we do hope that you can take in a lot of the various activities that are on. We mentioned Heartfall, of course. That's they've got some airings, three airings this week, three screenings, 7 o'clock on Saturday, and then 3 and 7 o'clock again on Sunday, and that's for $13. Very good production there by Elijah Anatole, and we do hope that individuals can head out to the Caribbean cinemas for that. Of course, there's cricket on, as we mentioned earlier on. That's happening at the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground tomorrow from about 2 o'clock, and as well, of course, tomorrow happening over at the Derek Walcott Square, Africa Liberation Day activities they're being put on, and that's from 10 until 6 o'clock at the Derek Walcott Square. So hope you do have a very safe and blessed weekend. I'm your host, Calix Shaw Jr., saying goodbye.